Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. You can go ahead and leave the projection up there, Jonathan, because I'm going to be flipping through some slides here this morning. Great title for my sermon this morning, In Christ Alone, and it's based upon Ephesians 2, verse 8 that I'd like to share this morning. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ever heard that before? Yeah? All right. Well, let's talk about that this morning. Dear friends, to maintain balance is really important in life. Think about a gymnast on the balance beam, carefully walking step by step on that balance beam. One lean to the right and they fall down. One lean to the left and they fall down the other way. And if they shift their weight and overcorrect, there's the threat that they could fall down altogether. We see it with the Olympics all the time, maybe down at OSU with the gymnastics team. Well, friends, it's the same way with our spiritual walk. It's important that we maintain balance. How do we do that? Well, this morning I'd like to suggest that there are two ways that we can fall off on the balance beam of spirituality to the right or to the left. We can fall off one way by thinking the more that we do, and the more that we do, the more God will love us. That's one way we can fall off the beam of spirituality. The other way to fall off the beam is by thinking that because we've done something, God will love us less. We fall off that way. Actually, if you think of the Bible, that pretty much describes all the Bible characters. Some fell off one way, working more and more to try to win God's favor so God could love them more. Others are on the other side. They've done something in their past, and they think that God will forever love them less. The only way we maintain balance in life, all religions, all philosophies, all countries, is to have Christ and be in Christ. Let's talk about those two ways real quick, how we can fall off one way or the other. We can fall off on the one side by thinking the more and more we do, the more God will love us. Think about maybe the greatest example in the Bible is the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Do any of you have any brothers or sisters that were perfect and did everything right? Are you one of those brothers or sisters that were perfect and did everything right? Hits the gut a little bit. That's the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, isn't it? He does everything perfect and right. The older brother, what a slough, what a lazy person. He wastes his time. The other brother does everything just right, does all the tasks and duties of the family farm. The younger brother, he wastes money and takes out his father's money and spends it on wild living, Jesus says in that story. The other brother, he works for money so that his father's business can do better. See, this is the guy that you want your daughter to marry and bring home. Yes, but here's the issue. This older brother, while he's doing all these good things, you see he's got a pad of paper in his back pant leg. I don't know if they had pockets back then, but just pretend. Back there there was that paper he pulled out and he wrote down all the good that he was doing more and more and more. And then at just the right time, he could pull it out and show his father so that he could have leverage, so that he could get more and more of his father's love. But he fell. He fell off the balance beam of spirituality. And he fell hard. Dear friends, the story of the prodigal son, Jesus is getting this point across. That we can never think that we can force God to love us more by what we do. You know, that can be a major temptation in our spiritual walk and in our church here at Peace this year. We can think these things. We can think the more we do with buildings and facilities, and we love our buildings and facilities. I love them so much. But the more that we do, the more God is going to love us. There's a temptation. Or we can think the more that we give to charity, which is great, and we want to do that as much as possible, as we heard so powerfully in the children's message, but we can think that God will love us more, or we can think that the more and more good that we do in the church for so many years, giving so much, the more and more God will love us. But the problem is, friends, we're not justified by our works. We're justified by God's love for us. Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." This, that's a neuter, by the way, in the Greek. It's actually saying your salvation, your faith, and your grace. None of those are yours. It's a neuter in the gender. In other words, it's saying all of it is because of what God has given to you. It is a gift of God. Well, friends, we can fall off on the other side of the beam spiritually. That happens when we've done something, a mistake or so forth, and we think that God will love us less. That's the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son. He really messed up. He really messed up bad. Maybe you have a sibling that's a younger brother that really messed up the family's name. Maybe you're that person. I don't know. The younger brother really messes up. He goes up to his father and asks for his share of the inheritance. What a shameful thing to do in our culture today. Friends, it was 100 times worse in the first century. He took his father's money, wasted it in wild living. The other brother, the older brother, gives a little detail that he's wasted it on prostitutes. He gives that little detail. He wastes his money on wild living. And as he does this, he pulls out his calculator. Now, I don't play with me here. I think they did have calculators back in the first century. He did have his calculator. He pulled it out and he calculated the deep mess that he was in on one side of the sheet of the paper. Then on the other sheet of the paper, he calculated ways that he could work it back with his father. And the end calculation was this: there was nothing that he could do to get back in the good graces of his father. In fact, his plan in the text is that he's going to go back and say, "Father, son, I'm not worth it at all." See, the younger brother fell off the spiritual balance beam of life, so to speak, on the other side. I'll put up a quote here this morning. "There is nothing we can do to make God love us more. There is nothing we can do to make God love us less." Philip Yancey. Getting back to the idea of falling off on the balance beam by something that we've done because of a mistake in our past. It happened to me one time. One of the first times that I was an acolyte in church. This is a good youth story. Pay attention if you're a youth, because it was frightful when I was a youth, an acolyte for the very first time at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Spokane, Washington. Now, youth, you've got it easy here at Peace. You only have one candle. I had 15 candles to light. 7 on the left side of the altar, 7 on the right, and 1 Christ candle in the middle. And the pastor was very stern and serious. See, I'm a softy. This guy was stern, and he said, "I need to tell you the significance of every candle and why there's 7 on that side and 7 on the other." My mom, she brought me to church 20 minutes early so that I could practice. It was great. It all worked out. Lit them, took them out, no problem. Then the service came. And I lit the candles, and one of those candles went out. I can tell you I didn't pay attention to anything the pastor said. I had no idea the songs that were sung in that service. My eyes were glued to that one candle that had gone out. And I thought they'd never, ever ask me to be an acolyte ever at church. I wanted to run out the doors and get out altogether. Now, it's funny. It's a funny story to tell you now. Absolutely. But friends, sin is even deeper than that. Maybe you have a sin. You have something deep inside that nobody knows about, that you're embarrassed about. Maybe it's as bad as the younger brother, prostitutes, wasting money, whatever it may be. Hear the words from your pastor today. You are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Repent your sins. You are forgiven. Because you're not saved by works. Do you hear the words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this," neuter, "This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It's not from works, the good that we do. It's not from the bad that we do, the sins that we commit. It's by being in Christ and His forgiveness. That's how we have balance in life. And you have everything. Now this morning there's going to be audience participation here at this part in the service. Let me get to the right place. I chose 5 I am statements from the Bible. Did you know that there are over 200 in the Bible? There are over 200 I am statements about you. Let's read these together. Let's start with the first one. I am a child of God. I am firmly rooted in Christ. I am clean. I have eternal life. I am victorious through Jesus Christ. I could have chosen 150 other parts of the Bible. See, none of those I am statements say anything about the works we've done. They are present tense indicative verbs. I am. It's a condition of what you are because you have the balance of Jesus Christ in your life. You know, the reality of the prodigal son is this. If either of those two brothers would have stopped what they were doing, just stopped altogether, would have taken a time out, and realized how much they were loved by their father, the father would have done anything for them, just as God would do anything because he sent his son to die for you and your sins. If they would have taken a time out, they would have changed their life philosophy forever. Dear friends, here at Peace Lutheran Church over the next 5 weeks, I am preaching on the 5 C's of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Number 1 is Christ, that's today. Because we're in Christ, we have balance in our spiritual walk. Weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5, we're going to talk about community. That's important for us individually and as a church. Our character, who we are, our calling, and our competencies, all those come together. But the foundation, friends, is that you are in Christ. You are clean, you are a child of God, you have eternal life. Thanks be to God. Let's pray about that this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for the clear teaching from your word that we are in you. Our significance does not come from the works we do. Lord, the works that we do for the better or the sins that we've done in the past. Lord, it's not that the works that we do are bad. They're good. We want to do good works. But Lord, we recognize our significance first of all comes from you, being in Christ. Strengthen us each here at Peace. May the fact that we're in Christ flow out to our community and others. In Jesus' name, amen. And let us continue in our service by sharing what we believe that Jesus did for us in the words of the Apostles' Creed.